And welcome to another installment of Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. And Mickey, I saw one of your most recent mercenary alerts that you sent out to subscribers. You mentioned blustery winter weather down there in Albuquerque. What's going on?
Well, it's typical winter. You know, we have a few nice days and then these storms come in. Really what it's all about is I wrote about Brazil today, and I'm thinking, geez, I should be in Carnival. And then I'm going to Palm Springs tomorrow for a Cambridge House conference, and I'm going to talk about my bull market fundamentals of copper, gold, and uranium. And I'm just thinking it was 27 degrees Celsius for our American listeners in Palm Springs today. So I was longing a bit for warmer weather, and I'm going to be there tomorrow. So, okay. Can't complain about that.
No kidding. All right, you're heading off to some nice temperatures indeed. For this program, you wanted to revisit copper. We last talked about copper, I guess it was back in October, Mickey, but since then this market has changed quite noticeably. What can you tell us? What really stands out?
Well, copper righted itself. So, you know, we talked and I wrote actually a couple of weeks ago. Then in the fall, Dr. Copper was a little out of sorts and had the blahs, and it just wasn't really working very well because what we were seeing was dropping inventories in conjunction with dropping prices, and that's counterintuitive, and it was just the opposite what was going on the year before. But since the first of the year, copper's come roaring back, and it looks very bullish, and rarely have I seen everything line up in a commodity for a short-term bull market the way that copper has done over the last, say, month or so.
Okay, you mentioned inventories. London Metal Exchange copper inventories, I believe, if you take a look at a chart of that, it's a real eye-opener because, and you mentioned it was kind of, it was weird how things were playing out. Inventories were dropping, and the price really wasn't reflecting that. Now it's kind of back in line the way it should be. That's what you're saying, aren't you?
Yes, and there was really, in retrospect, and actually we pretty much knew what was going on at the time, all these Chinese pig farmers were moving copper in the back into the market. They were destocking and taking advantage of very high prices. Then when the prices started to drop, they likely started to restock again. So we never quite know what's going on in China. You know, it's always a wild card, and it's always dealt face down. In other words, it's a very opaque market. And what we've realized now is that the Chinese were destocking in the early part of the year when prices were well above $4. We had the massive correction, greater than 30%, just before we talked in October. And at that time, the speculators started to restock, and that caused inventories to go down. And now we've seen that catch up, and prices are catching up. You know, I saw a factoid today that copper destocking in China from unreported warehouses. Now take that what as you may.
Yeah.
That could be some pig farmer's pig sty where he's got a few cathodes or bars of copper stored.
Sure,
but
yeah.
That was 900,000 tons last year.
Wow.
And that's something on the order, let's say, 17, 18 days of annual supply. Mm-hmm. But what's most striking about that, I think, Rob, would be that it is nearly double the average LME, high-end LME stockpiles, warehouse stockpiles over the last year. So that's a significant amount of copper. A recent BNN appearance and also my recent musing on copper, I commented that LME warehouse inventory is going down at the same time that cancel warrants, and a cancel warrant is material that's scheduled for delivery out of the warehouse. So when copper finds a buyer, it moves out of the warehouse, and that's called a cancel warrant. And the percentage of those was at an exorbitant amount. It hit 24% one day, probably averaging 15%. But in retrospect, what we've realized is a lot of that LME inventory was moving into Shanghai warehouses on an arbitrage place. So this is just about as an opaque a market as you can get for a commodity traded on the world stage. And, of course, copper is very speculative and perhaps the most speculative futures contract that there is out there.
Okay, you see a bullish trend though in copper, Mickey. You're positive on the metal, at least for the short term, the near term. But at the same time, how do you explain your argument for copper when you look at a chart of the Baltic Dry Index, which tracks international shipping prices? And you should always really consider the Baltic Dry, I think, when you try to get a handle on overall health of the global economy, industrial demand. This index has really tumbled. That can't be a good indicator for copper, can it?
Well, I wouldn't think so. I am at a loss. So, you know, we always have counter currents going on, and I'm at a loss to explain the precipitous drop of the Baltic Dry Index since the first of the year. One thing I know that causes that drop, and that's the Chinese Lunar Year, a 15-day celebration, and not only in China, but in other parts of Asia with Chinese populations.
Right.
So for a couple of weeks, business pretty well shuts down in that part of the world, and so we can explain a drop in the Baltic Dry Index because of that, but not the drop we've seen. I'm at a loss, and I'll be right up front and say that.
Okay. We've talked about copper mine production in the past, Mickey, and we know that this is a very long process in terms of getting a working mine up in working order. But what is the situation today in terms of mine production? Is it just not rising fast enough to meet current demand? And do we have very many mines in the pipeline that could soon come on stream to try to alleviate the situation?
Well, the point is that I would make is we're not finding, developing, and mining enough copper to meet anticipated future demand. So we've been making that up by strong copper prices, which allows mines to lower their cutoff grade and mine lower grade copper. And that's been a trend for a long time. We keep mining lower and lower grade because we're not finding the easy and high grade deposits, for the most part, have been found. It is of a concern in the future, I would say, in the midterm, because if you look at the supply-demand balance of copper, it's been basically in balance, plus or minus, for the last 4 years, going on 5 years now. And so things like supply disruptions with strikes or demand destruction with natural disasters or economic worries have been more important. But we use a Bingham Canyon of copper every year. And I don't know how many listeners are aware of what Bingham Canyon is, but it's been producing since 1842. It is one of the largest copper mines in the world, and it is the largest human-made excavation on the planet, just outside of Salt Lake City, Utah. So every year we've got to find one of these world-class copper deposits or the equivalent thereof, and it's just getting tougher and tougher. So with a secular bull market in commodities driven by China and India and Indonesia and Brazil, lots of people wanting electricity. The long-term potential of copper just looks extremely bullish to me.
Okay, extremely bullish. Can you attach a price tag to that outlook, sir?
Well, I certainly can, and it's between $3.50 and $4. And the reason for that, and I'll step back and say that spot copper hit a five-month high again today at $3.96. We've got a healthy contango as opposed to 2 weeks ago when it was on the cusp. But we're above the 200-day moving average for about 20 days. But I dare say if copper goes flying on the upside again like it did last year and gets much above $4, you're going to have speculators selling in that market. So feel very comfortable in the range I gave, because every copper producer worth its salt in the world will make lots of money between $3.50 and $4 copper.
All right, well, let's wrap it up on that note, Mickey. Great to catch up with you. We'll talk again in a few weeks. Next time out, our focus will be titanium. That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.